And we're back. It's the Monday edition of the Bet the Board podcast, joined by Payne Insider in just a matter of seconds. I'm Todd Furman. Hopefully everybody who listened to the Thursday edition still busy collecting their cash from bookmakers across this fine country. Payne, if I have to admit myself, some of our best work we accomplished last week, handing out Cleveland as one of our top bets along with a winner on Thursday, and then telling people that the Raiders not only had a great chance to cover, but maybe beat the 49ers outright.
Brian Hoyer did everything in his powers to not get us to the window. That was tough to watch. That was one of our bigger positions on Sunday was the Browns. And watching that and not being up 17-0 or even 24-0 earlier in that game, you knew the way Andrew Luck plays, he's the comeback kid, that it would be a little hairy late. Fortunately, we did get to the window, though.
Yeah, amazingly enough that you look at the Browns and the game was 7-7. Turns into a 14-7 game before the half and a couple of two-point conversions and curious decisions, but hopefully listeners were all sitting on plus 3.5 or better on that game, so even if Indy converted that two-pointer late, it wouldn't have mattered. For those folks new to the podcast and old, your reminder what we'll do on our Monday edition. We'll hit the Monday night game, but that'll be the last order of business. Green Bay, a 13-point favorite. Total in the game, 54.5, 55 as they play host to the Atlanta Falcons. But before we get to that, Payne, let's start with the week that was. Any mate teams that really jumped off the page in terms of a good surprise and something we can take moving forward over the final 3 weeks of the NFL regular season?
Yeah, I think going back to Ryan Fitzpatrick, I like what the Texans are starting to do. They're at 7-6, big division game on deck. So I know a lot of people, we talked about it earlier, I think most will hear all week about how the Texans don't do well in Indianapolis, but I think this is a Texans team that's trending in the right direction, going back to Fitzpatrick, the veteran presence. Offense seems to be clicking a little bit, so I think the Texans moving forward and potentially as early as this week will have some good value. I liked what I saw from them. And I think there's just a couple teams, and we've talked about this in general, finding teams that want to play for their coaches. And we saw that. We saw a rallying effort from the Panthers this week, so that was good to see. And some of those teams that potentially disappointed really are a team like the Titans, and we've talked about this, you know, all year. Find guys, find players that want to play for their coach. And Ken Wisenhunt doesn't seem like he's the most beloved in Tennessee, and the Titans right now are a full-blown train wreck.
Yeah, and it's not going to get much better for the Titans, although you will have an audition for most likely Jake Locker to start the three final games of the regular season. Zach Mettenberger lost for the year. He finishes his final regular season game in his rookie season, 14-24, 125 yards, and the Titans get outgained by the lowly New York Giants at almost a 2-1 clip. Of course, the Giants were a huge position taken by the professionals on game day, as we saw that number go from pick all the way out to the Giants laying a soft 3. You talk about the Panthers, Payne, and I know that they kind of rallied around it. There were some quotes all week that this was a game they'd had circled, thought they were going to play better. A team that surprised me a little bit, just given their dominance, was Baltimore. They spotted Miami a 10-0 lead and then are able to outscore the Dolphins 28-3 over the final three quarters. I mean, the Ravens right now, I know they're not technically in control of their destiny, but are they the team that we should be watching in the AFC North?
Yeah, I mean, this is a Ravens team that I've talked about a lot this season. I think they're better than the record indicates. I'm not huge on the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they're one of the most fraudulent teams in the NFL. I think their coaching staff isn't very good. So the Ravens are moving in the right direction. Obviously, the secondary is the issue, but with that pass rush, it should help the secondary a little bit. And we talked about this game. It was one of the tougher games for me to gauge. It was extremely high on the Ravens early in the week. I know we got out on that position very early. There was some resistance. There was other guys that did like Miami getting that down to getting that back to 3 at kickoff. But just a horrible, horrible matchup for the Dolphins. The Ravens are one of the most physical teams at both lines of scrimmages, and they showed it again on Sunday against the Dolphins. So I do like the Ravens moving forward, especially when you talk about a Bengals team that I don't think is very good.
Two other teams I'm interested to get your thoughts on that have to be considered among Super Bowl favorites at this point, given that they found their form at the exact right time in the season. Seattle Seahawks go across the country and beat the Eagles. We saw the Eagles get bet all the way out to -2.5 before there was nothing but Seahawks support from the pros, with Seattle closing a 1.5, 2-point favorite in some spots. And, of course, the New England Patriots, who put sportsbooks in a precarious position last night. One recreational shop said it was the single largest decision they'd lost all year, were not able to stop the swell of Patriots support. You know, what do we do with these two teams moving forward? Are they going to be overvalued, and will we have maybe potential fade spots for each?
So you're telling me the Seahawks were the sharp side this weekend, huh?
I am indeed telling you the Seahawks were the sharp side, despite some contrary information that was shared across major media outlets on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, the Seahawks were the side by the largest betting groups, is without doubt. And they're getting back to what they do. We talked about that on this very podcast. Getting rid of Percy Harvin kind of got them back into their zone, which was playing defense and running the football, and that's a great recipe. The only concern, I guess, of that game would be how Chip Kelly had been so dominant over Pete Carroll in the colleges that I know a lot of people had fear of that, but Seattle was the right side there. You have to like what they're doing moving forward. They might be overvalued this week. Obviously, we saw a look-ahead line of Seattle minus 6.5, and you're now out to, you know, the 10 number. So potentially overvalued, you know, as early as this weekend. So that's one thing to look at. But I do think Seattle is going to be a major force down the stretch, as we've thought they were, you know, the last couple weeks. When you get to the New England Patriots, I think everything aligned great for them this week. It was typical spot where we would usually be on the Chargers, the home dog, in that Sunday night spot. But Chargers exerted a lot of energy coming back in the fourth quarter against a physical Baltimore team, traveled back home. The Patriots were out on the West Coast early last week, so I think the circadian stuff didn't really play a factor. Their bodies were acclimated. And that game could have been much uglier than the final score. So you really like what the Patriots are going to do. I think they will have a tough matchup this week against the Dolphins. The Dolphins do match up very well, and by all intents and purposes, that will be the Dolphins' season this week. So, but again, I think the Patriots will be a major player between them and the Broncos in the AFC this year.
And, of course, for those people who want our thoughts on games like the Patriots-Dolphins, which will be a focal point for us this coming weekend, I encourage them to tune in on Thursday to listen to the weekend edition of the podcast, where not only will we preview the Thursday night game, but also get you set and your heads clear for the full Sunday slate. Now, of course, Payne, you know, we want to laud some of these teams for good performances. We wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't pick apart others. And I'm going to go after a team, the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, the San Francisco 49ers, who seem to be an utter train wreck, mustering a grand total of 248 yards against the Oakland Raiders, and were pretty lethargic in that loss, despite being 8.5-point favorites. And then I think the other team that's worth discussing, who we're going to see on Monday night in all their glory, the New Orleans Saints, in the middle of a playoff race, getting embarrassed at home by a team left for dead by most, Carolina 41-10 as an 8-point favorite as well.
You really have to look at the mental approach, the locker room, and again, reading these player quotes, doing your reading, and we've talked about this so much, you have to read, you have to get information, you have to kind of get the vibe of the team in the locker room to see if, you know, there's investments worth making. And basically what you've seen all season long from the 49ers is they have internal issues, and it looks like they're popping up right now. For all intents and purposes, it looks like they're out of the running at this stage. It really does. So now you have a team that looks like they're out of the running. There's internal issues. It doesn't look like anybody's going to want to back them. So maybe this week, despite, you know, we talked about it, the huge jump from the look-ahead line. But if you got a team that's dead, 2.5, 3 points is not going to matter. They're just not going to show up. So those are the things that you need to really focus on. For New Orleans, it's a tough spot. We've seen some early money on the Bears. For me right now, it's you know, you're looking about a week out. I'm not running to bet the Bears right now, but it seems like a game where two teams, both train wrecks, it'll be interesting to see which team can get back on the tracks, and I'd be surprised if I'm on that game at all come Monday night.
Well, the impressive part for the Saints, if Atlanta goes down tonight to Green Bay, the Saints still very much in the thick of things as far as the NFC playoff picture is concerned. You talked about those look-ahead lines. Of course, we'll get to that in just a second. But any other teams that you feel need to make this list for otherwise pleasant surprises, or teams that really disappointed, and some major takeaways from the weekend that was?
Yeah, I think the biggest disappointment was obviously the Miami Dolphins. This team just cannot close out games right now. The defense has been gashed up the middle. The defensive line is not playing well right now. It was one of the better defensive lines in all of football. So they've had multiple opportunities. They will have one last opportunity this Sunday. They need to run the table to have a shot at the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see some fighting on the sidelines between Philbin and Jared Odrick late in that game. This is just a Dolphins team that was disappointing in all phases of the game. Ryan Tannehill didn't do well. The defensive line wasn't there. The offensive line, you can't really point your finger at anybody specifically. It was a team effort that really wasn't much effort at all. It looked like a championship fight. They got punched in the middle of that game and just kind of quit at that point.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see how they rebound, as you talk about. Going to need a win out and pull off the improbable upset against a Patriots team who thrives during the month of December, especially at Gillette Stadium under Bill Belichick. And like we always do, we'll get to the look-ahead lines, but just a quick little reset. Man on the other end of the line, that of Payne Insider. You can follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider, or visit his website at PayneInsider.com. I'm Todd Furman. Follow me on Twitter, at Todd Furman, or check out my website, ToddsTake.com. And Payne, I know we'll talk about the Thursday night game between the Cardinals and Rams in a little more detail a couple days from now, but look at lines, you have seen an adjustment here. The Rams would have been 2.5 points before this week, 2.5 point favorites before this weekend. Currently, you're looking at St. Louis, a 3.5 point favorite. First time in franchise history since their first two games back in 1945 that they've been able to pitch back-to-back shutouts, and maybe this defense finally living up to advanced billing and those expectations people had coming into the season.
Yeah, it's really all three phases right now for St. Louis. Defense is finally getting pressure on the quarterback. Their quarterback is playing more efficiently in Hill, and the guy's about to be 35 in January, so it's pretty impressive. And they're getting plays out of the special team. So St. Louis looks like a good bet-on team moving down the stretch. And, you know, limits are low, but we've seen some professional sentiment for St. Louis already this week, taking it from openers of 2.5 and some nice priced threes out to 3.5. So a pretty significant move early in the week on St. Louis.
Yeah, and if you talk about Arizona on the other side, pretty fortunate to get through Kansas City, in my opinion. Of course, I may be a disgruntled Chiefs backer who thought my ticket looked pretty good in the middle of the third quarter until a offensive pass interference call on Anthony Fasano, promptly followed by an Alex Smith game-changing interception that proved to be too much for Kansas City to overcome. And while we talk about the Rams and want to give them credit for a team trending in the right direction, their opposition on Sunday, clearly not. And you've seen a major change in what the look-ahead line said versus what the current market's showing. The Giants were a 3.5-point favorite on the advance number. Right now, let's call the Giants a 6.5-point favorite, opened as high as 7. There obviously was a little bit of money that came in on the Redskins at that point.
Yeah, there was some professional money last week on the Redskins. I would not be shocked to see professional money at some point on the Redskins. There might be a little jockeying around this number, the key number of 7, but I think when it's all said and done, the position taken by the professionals will be on the Redskins once again. Be interesting to see if they can get DeSean Jackson back. I know a lot of people don't like DeSean Jackson, but literally when you talk about the Mike Wallaces, the DeSean Jacksons of the world, there might be 3 or 4 guys in the entire world that can do what they do. They affect every single snap. You have to play a safety over the top. It just creates so much space for everybody else. And that Washington offense was missing a lot of space this week with him out. So that'll be an interesting one to monitor. But again, I think at some point professionals will be on Washington.
Yeah, pretty interesting to think that the Giants all of a sudden have righted the ship with one win over Tennessee. And as we've seen some divisional games, imagine revenge won't be lost on the mind of the Redskins, knowing how they were dominated on Thursday night against this same Giants team earlier in the season. Aside from those couple main discrepancies, not a whole lot of other changes in the look-ahead lines that are that noticeable when you consider that you probably wouldn't expect to see much. The Falcons go from a 1.5-point favorite down to a pick'em. The Steelers look pretty dominant in the second half, primarily in the fourth quarter, outscoring the Bengals 32-7 in the final 30 minutes, 25-0. In that fourth quarter. Carolina, though, you've seen a modest jump from 3.5 to 5.5. Payne, do we think Carolina sustained some of the momentum they built against the Saints, or do we see that potentially as a one-off spot for Carolina, just rallying to try and get revenge for a game they lost earlier in the year on a Thursday night?
You know, we've seen a couple outliers this year for the Carolina Panthers, and basically when those peak performances happen, it's because Cam Newton's running the football. Having that added dimension really makes this offense dynamic. I mean, it is what it is. When he wants to run the ball and he's healthy enough to run the ball, the offense is different. It's effective. And that's what we saw last week. I think he ran the ball 12 times, and many of those were designed runs. So if he's into the game, if he's healthy, it's a different offense. This is a division game. We have seen Tampa show up multiple times on the road this year. We kind of avoided last week. We made a note of that to avoid last week. But, you know, a little adjustment here. It'll be interesting to see with Atlanta's result this evening. You know, Carolina will start having something to play for if Atlanta loses tonight. So that'll be interesting to monitor. But, you know, read your player quotes. We got to see how banged up Cam is from running the ball last week. But if he's good to go and he's willing to be a runner, this is a completely different Carolina football team.
Now, there's no doubt about it. They showed flashes of the team that we saw last year go into the playoffs and have a chance to advance to the NFC Championship. Much different than the addition of Carolina that we've seen throughout the course of the regular season for the most part. And, of course, Payne, you mentioned those lovely Atlanta Falcons who will be on display in all their glory at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field as Brett Favre makes his return. You look at the weather forecast for tonight's game, cold temperatures as we always expect in Wisconsin, potential snow flurries. Number 13 total at 54.5. We've obviously seen some money from the professionals on the under. Talk about the side a little bit and where you think this price may be headed.
It's really tough to determine where this is going to go.
By the way, that sounded like a lot of energy and excitement with that sigh before you had to talk about the Falcons-Packers, so I give you credit for that.
This game opened 11, and you know the sharp shops are going to have a very, very difficult time moving this to 14 or 14.5. You're just not going to want to open up the potential for getting middled on a Monday night standalone football game. So, I mean, it's tough to dictate where this is going to go. Obviously, your square shops are sitting at 14 now. They probably will continue to rise. There was some buying from some of the groups. I don't know why, but they went early on Atlanta. My number on this game from the math guys is 10.4, so right around where it opened. The kind of caveat that I would give to this and why I'm not running to bet Atlanta is just how bad this Atlanta's defense is, and I don't think anybody really can comprehend how bad it is. They're dead last in defensive efficiency, and they've played nobody. When you talk about the long laundry list of quarterbacks that they've faced this year, I mean, they've really faced nobody aside from Breeze earlier in the season. And you're talking about the most potent, most efficient offense with Green Bay. So I think it's really a tough matchup. My numbers say Atlanta, but for me, and I know this is a tough spot. We had Green Bay with a good performance last week and kind of that stepping stone victory over Tom Brady and the Patriots. But this is one of those games where you go to the window with Atlanta as a sharp bettor and you're down 14-0 halfway through the first quarter and you're just kind of kicking yourself in the face. So it's tough for me to find a position on the side. I probably will not be on this game at all this evening.
Yeah, like you said, it's a tough game to handicap. Numbers tell you one thing, your eyes and simple X's and O's that have to factor into the equation. You can't rely on just one metric to make your plays. There's a lot more complicated decisions that go in there. Of course, the books will be rooting for Atlanta in this particular spot. It'll be very interesting to see how this game plays out, but much better investing opportunities coming up, not only on Thursday night, but also as we train our eyes towards the final 3 weeks of the regular season. As far as games maybe to jump out ahead of the market, we always like to try and give one potential nugget or two, Payne, anything that you think if people are inclined to bet a particular side or total that might take a little bit of money before we reconvene on Thursday.
Yeah, I think you know one last thing on that Monday night game, and I'd like to go to the window with Atlanta. The thing here is it just kind of resembles the Tampa-Detroit game. If Atlanta hasn't been able to run the ball all year, that's what you need for dogs. If they can run the ball, they can kill clock, shorten the length of the game, you're going to have better opportunities cashing these tickets. But Atlanta hasn't been able to run all season long, so that'll be the key here. If Atlanta can establish a ground game, they're going to cover this number, but they haven't done it all year. So that's what's going to keep me off Atlanta. If you're looking at a game that I think will move a little bit, wouldn't be shocked to see these Miami 8s and hooks on the 7 disappear. I don't know if it'll happen before we reconvene on Thursday, but you know, I think that'll probably be a game that moves some. We've already seen, and I know you don't like to talk about the Jets. You've adhered to that policy for the last month or so, but it'll be interesting to see how far that game moves. Everything that I'm reading in Tennessee is they've quit on Wisenhunt. They dislike Wisenhunt. So it'll be interesting to see where that line goes. Obviously, the Jets as a road favorite will make you want to puke, but we'll be interesting to see how far that line goes. But and I think you'll see a lot of jockeying on this Giants-Washington game. If it does get to 7, I wouldn't be totally afraid or think that the Giants are the actual side there. So just a couple tidbits on those, and I know we'll get to this more in depth on Thursday.
No doubt about it, and we will definitely be back on Thursday. So for Payne Insider, I'm Todd Furman. Best of luck with your Monday Night Football selections and any games you elect to move on early. And we reconvene on Thursday. We'll give you the full rundown. Remember, use that hashtag, AskBetTheBoard, and we can answer any and all of your questions that we have time for on that Thursday podcast, a little bit more of an extended edition as we look towards the stretch drive of the NFL regular season. Best of luck this evening, and hopefully we'll see you at the window.